Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. I'm here today with our National Secretary of the CHP, Mr. David Darwin. And I'll give you a little introduction, David, before we launch in. David Darwin is the National Secretary of CHP Canada, Christian Heritage Party of Canada. He serves on our national board and is chair of CHP's Economics and Finance Department and the interim chair of the National Defense and Sovereignty Department. He serves as secretary and meetings chairperson of our Policy and Strategy Committee, which is our de facto shadow cabinet. He also serves as CEO of an EDA within the Ottawa area. David became a life member of the CHP in 2013 and was elected National Secretary in 2021. David holds a Bachelor of Commerce honors degree, majoring in economics. His 34-year career in the federal public service covered financial management, executive support, strategic analysis, and managing. He was a school board trustee for one term, which included serving as chair of the management and strategic planning committees. He served on numerous church, school, community, and pro-life boards and councils. He's participated in politics at school board, municipal, provincial, or federal level for most of his adult life. His other varied interests include gardening, photography, canoeing, sailing, and writing. David and Linda's family includes 3 children and 2 grandsons. So, David Darwin, welcome to CHP Talks. It's great to have you today.
Thanks very much, Rod.
So we're going to talk about money today. We're going to talk about fair taxes. And some people say, what could be fair about taxes? How could taxes ever be fair? But there is such a thing as taxes. The old saw is that 2 things you can't avoid is death and taxes. And governments do have a legitimate purpose in collecting taxes. Some people may not realize this, that governments actually have no money of their own. When people want government to shell out something for their benefit, they think that government is sitting on this pile of money, and if they don't give you some of it, they're being cheap. But really, government, the only money that they have access to is money that they get from you, the taxpayer, taxpaying citizen. So the reason why taxes have gotten so high, out of hand, and so bothersome for us as citizens trying to make a living is because government has been spending way too much money. Our current government under Justin Trudeau has spent, I saw a meme the other day that said he has spent as much as all previous prime ministers in Canada. I haven't checked that out, but he certainly has doubled our national debt in his time in office. By the end of this year, Canada will be $1.2 trillion in debt, a number we've never seen before in this country. And our daily interest rate, the money that we will be shelling out and coming from taxpayers' pockets every single day, will be $120 million. That's money that's gone to the international bankers and whatever, money we can't use for health care, highways, or any of the other things that we want government to spend money on. So that's why we're in the trouble we're in. But taxes, how does government collect taxes? So we're going to talk about the CHP's policy, the fair tax, which David has been a key person in helping us get that established, both in our policy book and in our understanding as a party. So, David, what is a fair tax?
Well, a fair tax, or national sales tax, as it's also known, it's basically shifting taxation from being income-based to being consumption-based. So the idea is, instead of looking at how much a business makes in terms of sales, or how much an individual may earn as income, we shift it to the expenditure side. So we look at when you buy a new good or a service, that's where the tax is incurred. The beauty of that is, of course, it's much more within your own control, in that if you don't buy a new good, then you don't pay the tax, and it doesn't happen. And it's also, I think, good in the fact that it's much more visible to individuals, because right at the bottom of the receipt is your national sales tax, same as you have a provincial sales tax, is right there on the receipt. Because today we don't see only a fraction of the taxes that we actually end up paying. And we are in many, many cases paying taxes on top of the money that we've already paid taxes on, and sometimes three times over. So it's become a very messy system. And I don't think Canadians really, you were saying that they don't understand, well, you know, why doesn't government have all of this money and so on? They don't realize where it's coming from. Part of that is because so much of the taxation is hidden, and they are just not realizing what they are forking over in terms of their funds. So that's more or less what we're trying to do here. Is a couple of things: is turn it to consumption, so it's much more visible. People see the whole thing, and the part about making it visible, of course, is that it's much tougher for parliamentarians to raise that tax. Today, as we just saw in the last budget a couple of weeks ago, all kinds of new expenditures, and we've got this, and we've got a little break for this one, and oh, we're going to give you a little bit more money for your groceries, and all of that type of thing. Nobody's seeing the tax rate, where that's coming from. Whereas if you tried to do that under a national sales tax or a consumption tax, they would have to sort of say, well, we're going to raise the rate from this to that. Well, okay, right away, you would sort of say, okay, well, that's what it's costing me. And every time I buy something, I'm going to be paying that extra to pay for the pharma care or for the dental care or whatever benefit that it happened to be. Because people have this idea that it's free, because they don't actually see it coming out of their pockets. But if they did, I think they would be shocked. And I there's organizations that have tried to point that out to people, to sort of say that, oh, by the way, sometime in July will be the day that you'll finally have money for yourself, because all of the taxes have been paid for. I think that's a great thing. It gets a little bit of media play and so on. But to get people thinking about the fact that I have to work until mid-July before I'm getting money for me, all the rest of the money is going to pay for my income taxes, my sales taxes, my whatever other taxes and benefits and so on. That's what it kind of comes down to, a realization for people that this isn't an expensive proposition.
Well, we have complained loudly and often and continuously about the carbon tax, which is an additional cost for every person who uses heating oil or fuel for their vehicle. And certainly we don't see the benefit from that. That money is just an additional drain. So they're raising taxes on a number of items. I think their alcohol taxes are up, and an income tax in general. So the difference between what we're calling the fair tax and the former regime of income tax, basically we would be paying no income tax whatsoever. When I get a paycheck, it would be all the money that I've earned, and I can put that in the bank and then spend it the way I like, including paying a small portion of it out for a national sales tax.
Yeah, and it's not just your income tax. It's business taxes, it's your inheritance taxes, it's taxes on your investments, on your capital gains, the GST. All of those tax elements would be banished from the books and replaced by a single tax, which is a consumption tax. So while it may look like when you see it all together to sort of say, whoa, you know, that's a big chunk of an expenditure, the fact that you are not having all of those other taxes, and as you said, when you get your $10 of earnings for your work, you get the $10. You don't get it discounted for the income tax that's taken off and the and so on. So when you go out to buy it, you only got $8 of the 10 to buy something, and then when you buy it, you end up paying more taxes on it. Or if you invested and you earn money, then they tax the earnings. So you're constantly in this routine of having your buying power diminished. And the whole idea is that put that buying power back in your pocket, let you be the determining factor. Because so much what we've come into today is government is sort of saying, well, we'll take it and we'll decide what the priorities are. We'll decide where it's going to go. And as we know in the Christian Heritage Party, there's many of those policies that we find to be against the just measures of God and are not for the good of humankind overall. They favor particular areas of society or particular groups and so on over others. And it's really become a means of dividing, I think, our Canadians and slicing them up into various groups and so on.
Yeah, well, Canadians have gotten used to paying income taxes over the years. All of those who work hard, they know when they look at their paycheck, it's not going to be the money that they earn. It's going to be have a significant chunk out of it. And the harder they work, the more hours they work, the higher their rate of pay, the larger the amount of money that gets taken away. So it's kind of a disincentive to work hard.
One of the selling points that we have for the national sales taxes is that it doesn't put that disincentive in place. And it also, when you're in a family situation, is that you may want to have second income coming in, but you look at it and sort of say, well, it has to be a significant enough income because I'm going to lose so much of it because my tax rate is going to go up. My household is going to be paying more. So with the national sales tax, the fair tax, if you want to go out and work one day, earn the amount of money, it's yours. You know, there's no income to report. There's no loss on that and so on. If you want to work 3 days, you can have all of that particular benefit. It applies in the same way to someone working overtime, because right now you demand a premium of time and a half or double time, because as soon as you start earning that extra money, you know that you're going to end up in another tax bracket, which means that you've lost some of that money. So you need to be paying a premium. Well, who ends up paying for that? It's the consumer of that particular product or good or whatever, who's having to work out more money. So that's one of the things that we try to emphasize with the national sales tax, because you take out those hidden taxes all the way along through the production cycle, the cost of goods based on the research that's being done on it should actually go down, so that what you're actually buying things with a larger, your own money that has it pre-taxed, and the cost of what you're buying is actually lower. So there's an additional benefit. It takes, of course, a while for that to work through the system and so on. But I've looked at, the example of even buying something as simple as a cup of coffee. And you think, well, okay, well, a coffee beans had to be shipped somewhere. So that means that somebody had to, say, fly a plane. So they had to be paid their income, which then included income tax and benefits and so on. Then it got into a truck, had to pay the trucker. The trucker had to, and then the business had to, and that's just for the beans. And then you have the coffee cup and you have the lid and then you have the worker. And so all of those people are being paid a salary, cognizant of the fact that they're going to lose some of it off to income tax and so on. So that kind of aspect, when you start breaking it all down, you can have a significant positive impact on the final cost of a good.
So the thing that we need to remember is that no matter what kind of a tax system we have in place, if the government continues to overspend, they will sink this ship. This government currently is going down that road badly. I think people may not realize that the previous Harper government actually added about $150 billion to the national debt. And the reason is they use taxpayers' money and they use debt money, borrowed money, to buy votes. And I can't say that often enough. And when the government turns around and makes a large grant to a particular group, whether it's the Gay Pride or whatever it is, or a company, corporate welfare to large corporations that should be paying their own way, when the government does that and they don't have the money, they're using borrowed money to do it, they are racking up debt that you, your children, and grandchildren have to pay. So no matter whether it's a fair tax, an income tax, national sales tax, whatever you want to call it, if the government continues to overspend, no system of taxation will work. So this has to be done in conjunction with, and our CHP, of course, has a policy of mandatory balanced budgets, that you can't buy taxpayers' votes you can't buy votes by throwing away taxpayers' money and debt. Our policies come in a package of mandatory balanced budgets, a fair tax, which is a national sales tax, replacing and eliminating the income tax. And then we have other policies that we probably don't have time to get into today, but with our personal income savings account to take the place of the Canada Pension Plan and so on.
And I think the other two, Rod, is that we also emphasize the need for government to restrain itself by staying within its core functions. And what we have seen for decades is that there's this growing demand. Well, I want to feed me for this particular, I want something for that, I want something. Government should fix this, government should do that. So in part, we have the fault of Canadians and broader societies in other countries and so on, this nature of sort of saying, well, if there's a problem, government should fix it. Well, government's quite happy to do that because they will step in, they'll become larger, they'll take more of your money to finance stuff. And I was listening to a podcast last week, and they were saying that because of the inflation of the grocery prices and so on, in a survey, 4.5% of Canadians on the survey said that government should set up a grocery chain. it's like, what are you thinking? Well, they're just thinking of, well, I've been told these groceries chains are making inordinate profits and they are the cause of inflation, which is not true, but that's what they're looking at. Well, the government should step in and get rid of the corporations, and we would not be having these gouged prices and our food prices would go down. We know that's not true. That's not what's going to happen, because governments are terribly, terribly inefficient. But it's that nature that when you're, it doesn't seem to me matter what it is that you meet someone and they'll sort of say, well, government should step in and do that. And they said, no. And I think that's one of the other policies that we mentioned in the CHP bailiwick, particularly under our health and education policies, is the idea of individual responsibility. You are responsible for your health. You are responsible for what happens in your community, within your family, and so on. Don't have government stepping in, because eventually government will have taken over everything. And where we end up? We end up in a very socialized socialism system. And every one of those has failed, but taking a lot of people down with them. But there's just, people are being sold this idea that, just put a little more money in the pot and we'll take care of things and we'll look after you and so on. And I think we see that with with the dental care, with the pharma care. We see it with the universal basic income ideas. I mean, there isn't anything that the government won't put its hand up and sort of say, I'll look after that. Yeah. You just need to hire a few thousand more people, and they'll all be working for the government and not for anything else. So,
As they say, a government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have. So
exactly, that's exactly, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do by advocating for this national sales tax is to make it evident what it is that you're actually paying and where the cost is, and to make there's a price to be paid by sort of saying, okay, we'll do that, but we need to put the tax rate up. And people will sort of start making a link, which just isn't there today. There's just not enough of a link in people's mind in terms of what the service is that they're looking for and the cost of that particular service. It's coming from this, as you said at the beginning, this idea that, well, government has this huge pile of money and so on, and it doesn't. It's our money, and it comes out of, as we will well know at the end of April when people start paying their taxes and filing their income tax, they'll start to see how much it actually is.
So I think one of the factors that makes this difficult to convey, I mean, the idea of getting rid of the income tax, that should be a no-brainer for every working Canadian. However, I think there is the fear that government will, continue to will add back an income tax or something like that. Like this policy is a great policy if the government stays within its bailiwick, as you say, if it controls its spending, begins to pay down the national debt, et cetera, et cetera. But if the government said, oh, here's a new source of income, and it's actually not new. We have the GST right now, GST or HST, that we're already paying a sales tax. It's a smaller amount. It's not sufficient to cover even the legitimate needs of government, and certainly not to cover the illegitimate uses of our tax money. But so some years ago, I talked to Troy Lanigan, who was with the Canadian Taxpayers at the time, and I asked him what he thought of the fair tax, the sales tax. He said, as probably the best tax system there is, it may be the hardest one to sell to the public because of this distrust of government motives. And, you know, people are just used to being dinged at every turn, and they just think, oh, this could be just another one of those things. It requires two things. It requires the elimination of the income tax, and it requires government restraint in spending. And that's the only way this could work. Are there any jurisdictions around the world where the fair tax has already been implemented, and is it working?
At the time that we did this study within our department, which was several years ago, we had the two biggest jurisdictions were Texas and Florida. But in the fall, the Canadian Taxpayer Federation published an article, and it says there are now 8 states in the United States with 0 personal income tax. And there are 9 states that have a single flat tax rate. That was one of the other things that my department looked at, was we looked at a flat tax, a head tax, various other taxation methodologies. But when we came across the nationals, which I had never heard of when I started working on this, when actually you asked the department to look into this, I said, okay, fine. And the more I looked into it, I said, hey, this is really good. This has all of those really, really great, great elements. So this article says that in about 15 years, they estimate that 20 of the United States states governments will have no income tax. So there's a very large concentrated movement in the United States to have the governments move in that particular direction. And for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that's very, very attractive is if we look at what's happened in the last 20 years, where Corporations are looking for low tax countries. So 15 years ago, it was Ireland, and a lot of companies moved to Ireland, particularly technology companies and so on, because their tax rate was so low. Well, you can imagine if we just eliminated business taxes, period. Well, businesses are going to look and sort of say, hey, let's go to Canada because we don't have to pay any tax. So they bring their corporations here, they bring their employment here, and they bring their productions and so on. So Canada benefits overall, which then increases the size of the economy, the gross domestic product, which helps to keep the tax rate down. So there's
one of the things that people, some of the our NDP listeners might be saying, oh yeah, you're going to let the corporations get away with murder here, not paying taxes. But they actually would be paying taxes on the raw materials that they use in their manufacturing facility. Is that correct? Or their inputs, they'd be paying the tax?
Well, no, you know, the way that the tax is only applied at the final point of sale. So the raw materials and so on, as they move through the production process, there wouldn't be the taxes involved. Not like what you have now where you charge GST and then you get a credit for the GST and like the amount of bookkeeping that goes in at that point. And we have to realize that corporations don't pay taxes. It's the investors that pay taxes, or it's the consumer that pays taxes, or the employers, the employees that are, you know, their wages are restrained or whatever. That's the way that corporations try to constrain their costs, trying to maximize benefits to their consumers and so on. But the benefit in that is that, of course, the product that comes out at the other end is less costly. So the consumer benefits by that. Yes, they pay the tax at that point of view. Another important thing that the listeners may have missed is we only talk about new items being purchased or new services. A used item has already had the tax paid on it, so you don't pay tax when you purchase a used item. So that actually has a positive environmental impact, because if you're like me and you walk around on garbage day and you see the amount of stuff that's tossed out that could be of use, but people just toss it out because they just don't want to be bothered dealing with it. Well, you would create a market for these used goods, which would also encourage manufacturers to build better quality goods, because they would have a longer lifetime and would be able to wend their way through the process. Now, corporations don't get entirely off the hook, because all of the other things that they buy that are outside of the actual manufacturing process, so the janitorial services, the building rentals, the fees that they have to pay to maintain their space and all of that, that's all outside of the business, direct business. So they're contributing to the taxes. Same as government. When government buys a service or a good or whatever, it would be paying a tax on that, basically contributing to itself. But there's still that gets factored into contracts and that type of thing. So there's a lot of nuances to it that need to be understood. But I can tell you that from the year that I spent studying it and since then looking at there are economists that have written on the subject and so on. It's like you said, it may not be a perfect system, but boy, it's way far above what we currently have. I mean, our income tax system right now is an absolutely horrific mess. There's upwards of about 3,000 pages of in the Income Tax Act. It takes a huge bureaucracy to operate it, which probably doesn't understand all of the ins and outs and so on. And there's national commissions that have sort of said we need to revise the system and so on. Never happens. They just keep adding more stuff to it and so on. So we just sort of say, fine, just get rid of it. The whole bureaucracy that goes with it and so on. And that's also part of our CHP policies in terms of getting government back to the basics of what it should be providing and stop setting up bureaucracies and so on that are really just self-fulfilling and so on. I mean, it doesn't, there's no productivity to collecting a tax and imposing rules and that type of thing and so on.
So I don't know what the average Canadian pays in terms of a percentage of income. Let's say for middle income Canadians, not the poorest of the poor and not the richest of the rich. Any idea what that percentage would be?
Well, after you take off your personal deductions and certain other deductions and so on, the marginal tax rate usually kicks in around 20 or 21%. And then very quickly goes up for, so maybe the middle income earners and so on are probably in a 30 or 35% bracket, and then on it goes. So, and that's what we were talking about earlier, is that, well, you earn a little bit more, but then you pop into a bracket and you actually don't come out ahead. So.
Sure. So let's say the average Canadian is paying 30%, 35% of their income. And so what they have left for investment, savings, and consumption is 70% of what they earn.
Exactly.
So what kind of a percentage? I know the committee has looked at this closely. Do you anticipate would be required for a national sales tax to pay the legitimate bills of government, not for the kind of overspending that this government is carrying on, but to pay for highways, ports, national defense, weights and measures, and all those things?
Well, when we did the study, we I think we had available 2015, 2016 information on the public account. And looking at that, we have to realize that not all of government revenues comes from taxes. They also have non-tax sources. So the national sales tax would have to contribute somewhere around 80 to 85% of the government revenues. The rest of it would come from government sales and duties and that type of thing. So at that time, we felt it would be somewhere around 16%. When we looked at the American estimates, they were in the 15 to 20%, and it varied a lot depending on what the state, I mean, their state governments have different operations and different obligations and so on. Certainly with what's happened in the last 5 or 6 years, as you pointed out, the tax rate would have to be quite a bit higher in order to sustain a government. And that's why we say that not only do you do the taxes, but it has to go hand in hand with a really looking at, well, what is government supposed to be doing and what can we eliminate, get out of, and so on. It's got to be that kind of a reconciliation with the Canadian public. And, you know, we would certainly see that we would take this to Parliament and say, well, you know, this is what the rate could be if you manage to bring things under control and so on. So it's a package. You can't just sort of come in without taking some really hard looks at what government is doing. So we would want to have a debate in Parliament in terms of exactly how this should take place. And there's, I mean, it's not something that, you know, April 1st, you know, some year, bingo, it comes into play. It would have to be gradually put into place as other things are taken out. So it's not I think some people have the idea that perhaps this is a magical bang, it happens, and but it's not. It would be a gradual transition from one system to another. And I think that's what's pointed out in some of the states and so on, is that it's over a period of 15 years that they're moving from their income tax system into a system of no income tax and with a sales tax.
Well, most systems that take time to develop also take time to dismantle. how long has the Canadian government been relying on the income tax for its primary source of revenue?
Well, as a temporary measure in the Second World War, income taxes were brought in, and it was only supposed to be until the end of the Second World War. But for some reason, they kind of liked the idea of that money coming in and the power that came with it, and it just never disappeared, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The regime became more and more complex, and we just have a big mess that's left right now. So,
well, they say people don't like change, or the only one that likes change is a wet baby. But I think I could get used to not paying income tax, and I think many Canadians could.
Another aspect, I think, looking at today with the prevalence of government to put its fingers into private lives, and be that financial affairs, medical affairs, your personal lives, and so on, is that you have to realize that when you fill out that tax form and submit it to the government, you're telling them about all of your investments, all of the money that you're making, your medical expenses, your political contributions. Like, they have a profile on you that is extremely detailed, because you're voluntarily giving that because you want to have a refund or whatever it happens to be. And with the way that we are, many commentators see us going in terms of central bank digital currencies, which you and I have discussed previously, that provides the government with all kinds of information that it can utilize against the individuals in terms of exercising control on society. So it's not a particularly good direction to go. But one of the things of getting rid of income tax is nobody in government needs to know how much money you made, where you've invested it, what your medical expenses are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So those kinds of things are a little bit more appealing than certainly wasn't on our mind when we studied this 6 or 7 years ago. But I must say that with watching what's happening in society today, I'm starting to think, that's another benefit of this, is that I'm not turning over so much information to the government. I shudder to think how much information is there in my lifetime that I've been filing income taxes, and they can track everything. They know where all of my investments are. I mean, every time you've got a T3, it tells you, what stocks are in and who the corporations that are included in that particular stock. And so, there's a wealth of information there. And when you get into this sense of having a social credit score being exercised, they look and sort of say, oh, you invest in that company. Well, we don't like that company, so, we're going to dock you for that. We're going to, push you to, we'll give you an extra benefit if you invest in this particular company, which happens to be, one of our government supporters and so on. So, manipulation starts to come into play there. So that's another aspect which I've just recently become aware of as a positive benefit of getting out of the income tax game.
Yeah, well, the government could get out of the business of performing sex change operations on small children, on killing babies in the womb, and sending the prime minister over to sleep in a hotel for $6,000 a night, things like that, at a useless climate conference that offers no solutions, but lots of ways to fly corporate jets, around the planet to attend and to enjoy a high level of living. Anyway, lots of the ways that the government is wasting our tax dollars. So again, we think this is a great plan, the fair tax. It can be fair. It will be fair if we're allowed to implement it. And it would also work hand in glove with a reduction in government spending that would be so easy to do if you had people with the right will in government to make those decisions. So,
yes.
David Darwin, head of the CHP Canada's Economics and Finance Department, National Secretary, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your work behind the scenes, and thank you for sharing it today with our viewers and listeners. I think it'll be very interesting to those who have not heard of it before. And for those of us who have thought about it off and on, it's a good reminder that we have better solutions for some of these terrible things going on in our country, economically and morally. And so thank you again for your work.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. We'll see for our viewers and listeners. We'll see you again next week for another edition of CHP Talks.